yep. working.
All right. However,
are the mics on? Are we recording?
Hey, everybody. that was the best handoff ever, and I forgot to get a song ready. So, hey, it's Thursday. And my mama always said, Thursday is as Thursday does. How's it going, hot stuff?
It's going okay. I feel like your aptitude with the radio program is getting worse over time.
Man, I don't know what the hell. I was all, what's your AIM info? And she was all, my AIM info is such and such and so. And then I tried to send a message, and AIM was all, such and such so-and-so is not logged on right now. So I don't know what the fuck. Man, I'm new at this. How's it going, Riff?
It's going. I got no complaints.
If you did have complaints, what would they be about?
Oh my God, I'm on fire.
No.
So you are on fire, but it's not bothering you right
that
now.
Bruce Springsteen complains about that sometimes. what do we do? A fucking giant item of the month since the last show.
Yeah.
It's not even done.
Nope.
Although, today I made 62 new arts.
Why can we not stop with these ridiculously elaborate
because we
things?
Can't and we won't and we don't. I don't know, man. Seriously, though, April's item of the month, fucking Seal Clubbing Club. Or Riff's idea, which is that we implement a familiar that's just a fairy with all placeholder messages.
Yep.
And also it doesn't work. You know, we could do like the unimplemented familiar.
Do like the baby bug bugbear.
Baby bug bugbear?
I want my baby bug, baby bug, baby bug.
No. What we can do is not let Hot Stuff have any ideas ever. We could, you know, we could do the Chili's baby back ribs familiar. We get a tie-in.
Yeah.
That would be kind of funny.
Oh, man. Kingdom of Loathing sponsored
the
by Chili's.
Yeah.
Available online at chilis.com. Man, imagine if you could order Chili's on the internet, and they would always send it to you from the original Chili's, which I'm assuming is, I don't know, where did Chili's originate? You order food online, they just make some like greasy ass French fries or whatever, and then they mail them to you
one at a time.
I guess that's the way to keep them fresh.
They'd probably send them in one box, but every fry would be in a separate little Ziploc bag.
Do you think they would try and save money, be more efficient by getting a variety of different sized Ziploc bags?
Maybe.
So that they wouldn't waste space if one fry was smaller than the other. Oh man, we went to one of our usual haunts for dinner and they decided to give us bowls of salad soup. I don't know what the fuck that was all about. It's like, this salad looks pretty delicious. And surprise, there's like a fucking inch and a half of water in the bowl.
Chili started in Dallas.
Dallas. All right, so mail's pretty good from Dallas, I think. That's like civilization. You know, it's not like, oh, the first Chili's was opened in a cabin on top of a remote mountain in the Appalachians. Because that would suck, man, if all of your food had to go out by mule. Also, I'm not sure why I said food like that, but accidentally put an umlaut on it. Must be the Germanic influence of the Appalachian Hills.
That's right.
So, they have a navigation bar at the bottom of their website, Chili's website. It's like, you know, employment, franchises, terms and privacy, and then fraudulent coupon alert is one of the navigation bar things. And I guess it's just a staple of their business that people are consistently trying to fraudulently give away Chili's foods.
I mean, I found this coupon on the internet and I printed out that was like 200 free beers. And they honored that.
Oh,
wasn't
cool.
Chili's the place that had that big hepatitis outbreak a couple years ago?
I don't know.
Uh-oh. RDFM says, because of Nemesis Quest awesomeness, I'm sending a cool box of cool things for Riff this time.
Oh.
Be on the lookout. Neat! Man, if it's even half as cool as the box that he sent us with the cool Lost Room stuff in it, then you're going to be in fucking cool city.
You're going to be swimming in cool.
Not that you're
or
not already
possibly
in cool
swimming
city, Riff.
In a large box of lava, depending on how he feels about the
cool
That's
city, true. Population Riff. That's what the sign says outside our office.
I'll be the mayor of Sassy City.
Sassy City?
Yeah.
Is that the sister city to Cool City?
Probably.
You think a guy who's cool would have a sister who's sassy?
That makes sense.
So I know this answer for Hot Stuff, when I ask if you've been playing any video games lately, because you know what? What Damned If Didn't come out a couple days ago was a brand new level pack for Geodefense Swarm, one of my favorites. If not my favorite iPhone game. I think that's a pretty favorite of mine. It's basically pretty favorite.
This is on your first page of apps?
No, it's not, like, I've streamlined my screens, man. I only have, like, you have, like, 12 screens of apps.
I think there's only 11 allowed.
Okay. Well, I only have 5. It's on my tower defense page, which I think is my third page. But yeah, they released a level pack, and I would have paid any amount of money for these levels, but the guy was kind enough to only charge 10 cents a level.
It's a... You're letting him know.
I know, man.
In your secret.
I know. He could do. All right. What he could do is he could release a level pack that all it was a giant red jewel and charge $1,000 for it. That's true. And I would buy it.
And then after you've bought it, then he could release it to everybody else for $1.
Rinton says yes. Chili's was the place with the hepatitis outbreak years ago. Well, cool. I know there was a hepatitis outbreak in the 70s at Minderbinders. Here in downtown Tempe.
Huh.
We're not in downtown Tempe. I don't know why I said here in downtown Tempe. Over yonder in downtown Tempe. So yeah, Hot Stuff and I have been playing some Geodefense Swarm.
Yeah.
When we've had time to play games, when we weren't working diligently, busting our asses and our nuts in the service of the item of the month.
Sometimes with the same hammer.
We almost had a promotional offer where we accepted pictures of people busting themselves in the balls with hammers.
That's
right. Yeah. We figured for every unique photograph a speed ascender sends us of them smashing themselves in the nuts with a hammer, we'd give them 2 free runaways.
Oh. Huh.
Because it'd be optimal.
Yeah. That when did you come up with this plan?
You don't ever read Dev Chat anymore, do you?
I skim it. I think I read it. I believed until recently that I read it, but I keep asking you questions, and you say the answer's in the devlog, which usually that's my trick for everyone else.
It's true.
Hot Stuff is the one person that comprehensively reads the devlog. So what's cool is that knowing this, you can link to all sorts of horrible things in the devlog, and you know that Hot Stuff will click on them just to be complete.
It's really frustrating.
Like, maybe an anime picture of a woman who is half dragon laying some giant eggs out of her dripping vagina.
Yeah. There was one thing that was linked to that I didn't even bother looking at.
Have you seen the picture of the two dragon men fucking the lovingly rendered purple Mustang convertible?
No, that's pretty cool, though.
That's a pretty awesome picture. Actually, no.
Is there a wizard involved?
It wasn't a convertible.
Oh. Well, nah, never mind. It has gone outside the purview of my particular fetish.
Yeah.
I'm not interested anymore.
But the interior of the room has lovingly rendered wood paneling.
Wait, they're in a room?
Yeah, it's like in a garage or something, I guess.
Huh.
But there's wood paneling on the walls, which looks like it took longer to draw than the dragons did.
Cool. Even the finely detailed veins on their giant dragon penises.
Yep.
Ah, giant dragon penises. Do dragons even have penises?
I don't know enough about how lizards work.
I don't think they do. I think that they mate via the cloacal kiss. Right.
First time I checked was in fact the. Huh. Dragons have sex with a skunk.
They're each fucking a tailpipe.
Yeah.
That's
pretty clever.
You know, that's pretty civic minded of that car to provide such opportunities. Well, but there actually are a lot of dragons fucking cars pictures.
Is it like the same
guy? It's a whole subgenre. Is it all the same guy?
Well, no, this one's different. This one, yeah, wow. There's like different opinions on the scale of the car to the dragon.
Hmm.
Right.
Well, I mean, there's all sorts of... Wow, yeah, so that's...
Like, that's a bus.
Right. Yeah. Tiny bus, giant dragon.
Or regular-sized bus, huge dragon, I think is the idea.
Okay, right. Or it could be a giant bus and a titanic dragon.
That's true.
A cyclopean dragon.
A lot of these dragons have also disproportionately large genitalia, which...
How do you know how proportionately large the average dragon's genitalia are? Is there something you're not telling us? Hot stuff. Some of these seem to be better.
Some of these were
better
done
drawn than
by
others.
Grade school kids, I think.
what an awesome grade school art project that would be for your class.
Yeah, I mean, I would have done something like that for hopeful inclusion in the county fair art submissions.
can you imagine going to, like, you know, a parent teacher night and, like, these are the pictures?
Yeah, this is what your son drew: a bunch of dragons fucking a bunch of cars.
Wow.
Hmm, I see.
So this is like, it's like good radio, except not.
Well, we're listening to you describe things that you're looking at on the internet, which is basically every podcast.
Yeah.
It's cool. Although Lord Derby says in a Radio Bugbear post recently, one of the things that makes your show better than Overthinking It and Idle Thumbs is alcohol. Keep up the good work. I'm having a glass of work right now. I don't know, man. Our podcast is not better than Idle Thumbs. Although we have more Twitter followers than Idle Thumbs.
Well, what does Idle that Thumbs mean? Doesn't have a video game, I imagine.
What? Idle Thumbs is a video game.
I would say that there have definitely been some of our shows that are better than some of Idle Thumbs.
Really?
Shows, yes.
I would not say that.
You said you would think that the worst Idle Thumbs show is better than our best show.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess you've caught me there. I don't know. I mean, so right, jokes that other people tell are always funnier to me than jokes that I tell.
That's not true. There are plenty of times that you've told jokes that you found really funny.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Sometimes
you're full of mistruths today.
Sometimes
tonight,
yeah.
This evening.
Glasses says, "Jick, I know how much you love talking about Overthinking It. So, do you want to put in your 2 cents in about? Do you want to put your 2 cents in about fan fiction? Although 2 cents, S-E-N-S-E. Fan fiction, especially erotic fan fiction, is always going to have a special place in my heart because I feel that I am one of a lucky, say, several thousand, but probably not 10,000 people about whom erotic fan fiction has been written." Maybe. I don't know. Do you think erotic fan fiction has been written about 10,000 people?
Yeah.
10,000 real people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Really?
If you include real people.
10,000 people?
Yeah.
You think there is erotic fan fiction about 10,000 people?
Yeah. I think...
Do you think that there exist 10,000...
Real people?
People? Yeah. Do you think that there are 10,000 people on this globe?
I think there are hundreds of thousands of people that are of minor... celebrity status, and I think that all of them have had fan fiction.
Every single one of them.
Do you think that
you could postulate the existence of a piece of erotic fan fiction involving every pair of people who
marginally? At that point, it becomes just geometrically.
Yeah, the combinatorial explosion.
I could not actually read the erotic fan fiction that has
been in Japanese.
Written about me. No, it was just very small. It was a description of my penis, and so it was too small to read. Outside of my penis, a dog is a man's best friend. Inside of a dog is my penis. Yeah, so I don't know, man. I can't think. I remember in the early days of me being on the internet and Mr. Skullhead hearing that, hey, I heard there's porn on this here internet. I used to get floppy disks full of internet porn and hand it to Mr. Skullhead.
Did you charge him for this?
The images were less than, well, I would say less than useful, but I would be lying. He only had a 16 color video card, so it was like sort of, it was very painful. I know. See, what I had was a job and the knowledge that for a mere $100 I could buy a VGA card for my Packard Bell 486 that would allow me to view certain photographs for my research. But
I mean, you could definitely render porn in 16 colors. Like,
kind
it
of.
Was definitely possible.
Right. Well, I mean, so I think the more operative use of the number 16 in this context is that a 16-year-old dude can beat off to basically anything. Right. So.
But do you think there was any?
You can functionally render porn in 16 colors for varying degrees of function.
Porn?
Well, there were certainly a lot of. Because
then it's just two colors.
There were a lot of erotic stories written.
Sure, no, but I'm talking like
one about the clown.
I have to have
told you this.
I don't know.
I'm going to find it. It is short enough that I am going to read it in its entirety. This was the best post I ever discovered on alt.sex.stories.
Okay.
This was at some point during my freshman year of college.
And you think you can find this?
I know that it exists on the internet.
Oh, well, clearly, so you should want to find it immediately.
Look, goddammit, I know that it exists. It's about a clown, and I think he's sticking his hand in a fire.
Okay.
This is porn?
Yeah. So far I'm not turned on.
Oh, come on.
Somebody do some real radio?
I'm almost sure it's about Gustav the Clown. Google Groups. Does Google Groups exist anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is turned into...
Oh, man, it's like a fucking quest.
A show about things that nobody can see. Because they don't exist.
No. Damn it.
There are times I think when we're pretty funny, and I think that there are times when Idle Thumbs is not on, you know. So, and there are definitely a bunch of people for whom Idle Thumbs would not be a good podcast, right? If they're not really into talking about games.
Maybe that's true. Because we never talk about games.
No, we do too, but we talk about a bunch of other stuff too, you know? Like
sometimes. Man, now why can't I find this fucking thing?
For example, we are talking about porn.
We are talking about
porn. And clowns.
Anyway, I sent him some Power Rangers erotic fan fiction. So I know that
existed. Wait, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers?
Yeah, he was into the Power Rangers. I feel like some seriously unclean things were visited upon the pink Power Ranger. Because wasn't she the only gal in the Power Ranger panoply?
I think if you don't count villains, yeah.
There were probably some villains. Ah, damn it. Maybe it's not Gustav the Clown. It was also cross-posted to a group that was like alt.religion.kibology or something.
Oh, yeah. Kibo.
What is that about? Riff, do you know what that is?
He was like one of the original internet celebrities, John Kibo Perry. He had like some kind of script or something that if you said his name on a news group, it would alert him, and he'd come see what you were talking about. He was a big thing on Alt Discordia.
Is it altreligion.kibology?
I don't know.
Man, I have to find this.
It's frustrating.
I know, this is
because
fucking
it's
terrible radio.
Because now you've got me all curious about it, and now I want to find it.
But I know more details of it than you do.
Kibology.
Now I have to look and see if I actually said correctly what his name was.
Maybe it is not Gustav the Clown. Ah, fuck, this is going to drive me crazy. This is going to drive me crazy. The world needs to hear this.
James Perry, not John.
James Perry?
Yep.
Oh, no, Rinton says he misremembered. It was Chi-Chi's with the hepatitis outbreak.
Oh, that's true.
Not Chili's. What the fuck is Chi-Chi's?
It's basically Chili's, except probably cheaper.
It's Chili's, but with more hepatitis.
Yeah.
What was the original news group? It was alt.
It was alt.religion.kibology, K-I-B.
No, but what was the original?
It was also in alt.sex.stories.
Alt.sex.
So the posts in alt.sex.stories frequently had, like, like keywords so that you could search out your own particular sub fetish in the news group.
Uh-huh.
Right? And the keywords for this story were like clown pine saw.
Uh-huh.
It is without a doubt the most erotic story I have ever heard. But God, we're just not gonna find it. That sucks. It'll be lost to the world.
Maybe you can write yourself a note and find it over the next week.
That's true. That's true. Damn it. Put it on my list of things to write notes to myself about. Nat Han says, Robot Chicken not only have a Dungeons & Dragons podcast, they have a Dungeons & Dragons video podcast. The same guy DMs as the Penny Arcade one, but they're only 10 minutes long. I have to say that I watched the first couple of segments of that and had zero interest in continuing to watch it. It is not the Robot Chicken guys in the sense of it being Matt Senreich and Seth Green. It is just some of the guys that are writers for Robot Chicken. And, like, I do not want to demean what they do, but, like, so they're, like, really good at being funny nerds, but, like, nerds are nerds, right? Like, I don't think anybody would be interested in hearing us play Dungeons & Dragons, and I'm not interested in listening to these guys play Dungeons & Dragons. It was a little bit interesting to hear, like, Will Wheaton play Dungeons & Dragons. Man, there's been so much action on the Jordan-Jesse-Go front lately. It's like everything's coming up Jordan-Jesse-Go.
You don't think there's some sort of weird just convergence that's happening?
Maybe there is. Maybe there's a confluence of everything.
In the podcastosphere?
Maybe my solipsism has been kicked up a notch. So, the Penny Arcade guys went on Jordan-Jesse-Go, described it as a horrible experience for them, basically making me believe that they are assholes and that they've never actually listened to an episode of Jordan-Jesse-Go, so they didn't realize that what happened, you know, in their experience on that podcast was exactly what is supposed to happen on that podcast, and that they weren't, like, somehow singled out for mistreatment. And then Jordan and Jesse were on the Adam Carolla podcast. So here's the thing. That is one thing that I will have in common with them when we go to Max FunCon. I'll be like, so, how about being on the Adam Carolla podcast as somebody about whom Adam Carolla didn't give a shit? I feel like we'll have that in common.
So now Adam Carolla just needs to go on Penny Arcade podcast and the circle will be complete.
That is the truth. That's never going to happen.
Could happen.
Now, okay, I would watch a video of Adam Carolla playing Dungeons & Dragons with Jesse Thorne. And who else? H.P. Lovecraft.
You just like to include H.P. Lovecraft in things.
Well, if I'm making shit up, I'd like to make up some shit where H.P. Lovecraft is still alive.
I have been listening to an H.P. Lovecraft podcast, so it all does come together.
From Beyond the Grave? Sweet.
Describe that podcast, Riff.
The H.P. Lovecraft Literary Podcast. It's hppodcraft.com, possibly org. Basically, they...
Wait, it's a new top-level domain, possibly
yeah.
org.
They're going through all of Lovecraft's stories in the order in which he wrote them, like one per week, occasionally two if they get a couple of really short ones. And they've got an actor that reads excerpts from them, and they just talk about what's going on and the background information about the story. And
they don't read the whole thing. They just read excerpts.
They did a two-parter about Herbert West Reanimator and had the guy that directed the Reanimator movie in as a guest host, and that was pretty interesting. But yeah, it's pretty cool if you're into Lovecraft.
It's kind of like World of H.P. Warcraft.
Yeah.
I see.
But it is nothing like H.P. Hovercraft.
Because it's not full of eels.
Member of the Dead Milkmen. Granite Grizz says, are you guys hiring? No, sorry. Verbable Nouns says, Jick, get your air conditioner fixed now so as to give the air conditioner guy some off-season business. Jacques Minot. I think I told our player base to remind me at some point during the winter.
Wow.
to call good old Joe.
Oh, because it is broken.
Joe the air conditioner fella. Yeah. Yep. Joe the reliable, kind, warm-hearted air conditioner fella. It's weird that he makes things so cold when he as a person is so warm.
Maybe he was driven to that work.
That's true. Maybe he is just so warm that
he has
in to order
run his air conditioning
survive,
all year round.
He has to constantly be in air conditioning, and so because he felt like he could not necessarily rely on others to repair his air conditioners for him, went down a road of air conditioner repair exploration.
Yep.
So now Roy has written on the whiteboard dildo with an extra I in it.
You were present for that conversation.
Though. Was I?
Dildo. It's Spanish.
Dildo?
Dildo.
Dildo. Is that Spanish for dildo?
No. But remember we were making up Spanish words.
When was this?
I could have sworn you were here.
I don't think that I was here for that.
Maybe
I think
you
I would
drunk.
Remember that.
Yeah, I think you were here.
Hey, look, El Jebia del Cinturón de López. Did you ask Roy how to say...
No, actually, Lopez's I looked it up on Babelfish.
Oh.
There was some incorrect grammar in that. And then I also had to add a plural. So I had some work to do.
Right, you had to talk to some dudes what speak some Spanish.
Exactly.
I knew how
I
to
did,
say it.
I did get...
You got belt buckle.
No, I got Roy to give me the correct translation for Lopez's angry Spanish rant in his last fight text. Yeah.
Oh, good. That's better than the time you asked your dad how to say, "We don't need no water, let the motherfucker burn," in Latin.
No, I didn't, I don't think. I just made that one up myself.
Oh, come on. That's not
sure.
As good a story.
Oh, okay. I totally did ask my dad. Yeah.
Hey, maybe someday we can do a puzzle about golf, and you can ask your dad.
Come on.
I know.
My dad has a brand new knee.
New knee.
he got one of them replaced, and so now he's like.
Did they let him keep
inches,
the old one?
They didn't. He's 2 inches taller on that side now.
Whoa.
Are you serious?
It's like an inch and some.
Wow. Actually, does he have to wear some fucked up? Does he have to wear golf shoes with 4-inch long
no,
cleats on?
No, because he's going to get his other knee replaced.
Huh.
They only do one at a time.
I have an uncle who has like one extremely thick shoe because of a motorcycle accident when he was young.
he crashed and crushed his shoe.
Yeah,
and
destroyed
it swelled
his
up.
Shoe. Yeah,
yeah. That sucks. I had an aunt who decided to get breast implants one at a time just to make sure that she liked it. Not really a thing. That was a joke that I stole from someone else.
I see.
Twillotair says, "Can you make the Jack in the Box auto sell for $500 so the Crimbo Tree gifts are all worth the same in-run meat terms? Same in-run meat terms. Is there some reason we didn't do that?"
I think we just have it non-discardable because it was...
Yeah,
you were too afraid people would accidentally throw it away.
Yeah. Maybe we could make it pulverize into 500 meat. It's not an item that can be pulverized, and having something pulverized into 500 meat is not a thing that means anything in the current context of the game, but...
It could.
Still, the possibilities are fucking endless. It could pulverize into a meat wad.
You know, I could make a one-of-a-kind item that pulverized into something that had an autocell... twice as high, which then also pulverized into something with an autocell twice as high, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't tell you where the sequence stopped, and then eventually it would just pulverize into useless powder. So it would be a gambling game.
And there would only be one of them.
Yeah.
So it would be a gambling game for whoever you gave it to.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Obviously, you'd have to give it to Krovax.
Yeah.
He doesn't need meat.
But he doesn't need to smash stuff.
Let's see. Oh, he found it! He found it! Thank you so friggin' much, Rinton. All right, so it is Gustav the Clown, but it's Gustov. All right, I am going to read for you the single most erotic bit of prose that has ever been written. Gustav the Clown pulled his hand from the fire and rubbed the soot that was once his flesh across his right cheek. The floor cleaner continued to gurgle on the empty wooden beams. Charred flesh and pine collided with a harrowing roar in his mind. Memories raced back to the day in the German hills when the innocents had escaped. Gustav screamed, "Mother!" He began to urinate. That is the single most erotic thing I have ever read. In fact, I'm going to need to leave the room for a few minutes.
That is.
You know, I'm going to actually need everybody else to leave the room for a few minutes, I think, because this is my house. I discovered this in context one night, my freshman year of college, and I believed that it was the finest thing. My discovery of that was the finest experience that had ever been crafted in my life at that point. I was like, whoever did this for me, I owe them everything. Yeah, so the keywords, The name of the story is Angst, 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 and the keywords are clown, pine sol, carbon, penis. Imagine what that did to my 18-year-old mind. This more than anything, is responsible for the man that I am today. Thank you. Thank you, Renton. Jesus Christ. It's like we have an army of awesome dudes doing whatever we want. Now fetch me a high school girl. Somebody gave me a custom title. Implying
high school girls?
Predilection for high school girls, yeah. I don't know how I feel about it. Other people can see that shit. I used to be apple juice for half price.
So, what is kibology? What's that?
Riff?
I don't really know anything about it except for the existence of Kibo. Yeah, I think it's just something that grew up around that dude.
Parody religion satirizing Scientology. Well, okay.
Ragu Dantilus wrote of the Nemesis Quest, presumably. Awesome new content. It's both silly and epic. Keep up the good work. Silly and epic is what we're going for.
Yep.
It's kind of like septic. But not.
Josh the Sorcerer Man says, Dear sirs, in my wishes to please my ladies Eris, Fortuna, Luck, and the Grand Goddess RNG, I kindly behoove you, allow for bad mooning to be performed 100% fuzzy diced. Sincerely, Josh the Sauce. I don't think you could do that.
Yeah.
At this point. Oh, man. Thank whatever gods there are for Twitter. Because that, you know, I was resistant. I'll tell you. I will admit it. I am not going to tell you a different story than that hot stuff. I was resistant to the entire idea of Twitter. But you know what? Now Twitter is my best friend. It has taken Whiskey's place as my best friend.
Huh.
If I had to choose.
It fed you lunch that one time.
To go without one or the other. Twitter did give me lunch that one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Directly from its bowels. bowels in the metaphorical sense.
No, in the literal sense.
Oh, yeah. What did we eat? There was some sort of chicken curry.
Yeah.
That was
like
pretty good.
Salad.
And there was a salad, yeah. And they had Tempest.
Tempest?
I didn't eat any Tempest. They had a Tempest cabinet.
Hmm.
Yeah. Saying it like that makes it sound like a food. You know, like it was a tempura. Isn't there a food called tempeh?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is that?
It's like some sort of gluten.
Some sort of gluten. Oh, is that shit that Dave had in the... The shit that he took camping. There was like dog food.
I don't think it's dog food.
No, it looked like dog
food. Oh, it might look like.
And it kind of smelled like dog food, and it kind of tasted like dog food.
It's like, okay, soybeans in a cake form.
I think that Dave was just feeding us dog food to fuck with us. Like, I think that he slowly built up an immunity over time to disgust at the taste of dog food so that he could eat some and then give somebody else a piece.
It's like Iocane powder, only instead of poison, it's just tastes bad.
Yeah, he just laughs at you. Did you eat any of that shit?
I don't know what you're talking about.
So Dave, when we went backpacking in the Grand Canyon, one of the things that he took, because he's a vegetarian, one of the things that he took as a source of protein to put into his meals was this basically a fucking bag of dog food. But what it was little nuggets of tempeh.
Okay.
And it was like dog food. It looked and tasted like dog food.
Have you eaten dog food before?
No.
So how do you know what dog
I've
food
smelled
tastes
it.
Like? Okay.
Did Maybe it I smell ate a little
like
bit.
Dog food?
No, I ate a piece of dog food once. I mean, I remember asking my dad, I'm like, is this safe for people to eat dog food? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, huh. I just want to see what it tastes like. And I ate a piece of dog food. And it's like, you know, it's not good, but it's not like terrible, right? It's just fucking food. All animals eat the same thing. Except for like Plecostomus.
Vampires?
Not all animals eat Plecostomus. Man, you get a pretty good fillet of Plecostomus going from the pretentious artist's new koi pond. Did you see those? Have you actually seen his new house yet? Man, you should go see the koi pond before he gets fed up and sets it on fire. That's a lot of fucking responsibility and money for somebody who's, like, not that excited about a fucking koi pond in the first place. And, to be honest, who is
that
excited about a fucking koi pond
in
the first place?
Not so much.
Yep. Right at 42 says, I would just like to thank Jick for recommending Moon. That is how you do hard sci-fi. And I would like to recommend it again to anybody who has not seen it.
Yeah, that was a damn good movie.
Moon is fucking good.
My only problem with it was the like weird hallucination that he had. I don't know if I should... I don't know. I don't want to spoil things.
Yeah, don't spoil it.
So, yeah. There was like one... there was one weird moment that I thought was going to be like setting up something for later on, but then it just was never referenced again.
Huh.
Early on.
Well, so now you have ruined it, because people will think that everything isn't foreshadowing anything.
That's true. Nothing foreshadows anything else.
Let's see. Tech Dragon says, if I use consecutive free rests, I still only get 5 turns of tasteful item effects. Fix. Doesn't it not give you the effect if you already have the effect, no matter what number of turns it is? That's one of those situations where there's no good way to do it, so I just had to pick away.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just slowly pick away at it.
We have a bunch of weird conventions that I'm not really sure at this point how they work.
Bumblebee, but B is spelled like B. Arthur. Why does the post-quest Volcano Island look the same as during quest, even though the volcano collapsed? Riff?
That's an art question. That's on you, dude.
What? No, it's not. I drew it exactly the way that you told me.
Does the volcano always collapse?
I believe... Well, okay, it doesn't actually say that the volcano collapses, but...
Just the cavern inside the volcano.
The cavern inside the volcano, and often whatever the temple structure is gets killed in landslide or whatever.
So...
But not, I guess probably not in every version.
The difference between a volcano and a collapsed volcano is a slight increase in the size of the caldera. Right?
Yeah.
So what happens with the volcano is it collapses and then erupts again and cools into its exact former shape.
There you go.
I mean, it looks different on the other side. You just can't see it. A deadhead says, hey, this volcano puzzle thing is kind of like the crazy shit I'm learning in my calc course. Want me to try to write up a volcanic puzzle generator? BS. Wait, what? Letting me be my nemesis in one round sucks. Think of all the text I'm missing. Given I am level 35, but scale resistance at least. We discussed this a little bit.
Yeah.
Some of the fights are guaranteed to take a few rounds. You know. Like Gorgolok.
Yep.
Man, you know the other thing about Gorgolok? It fucking looks awesome.
Yep.
They all look pretty cool.
They do.
You did good.
And see, I can attribute it all to your animation, and you can attribute it all to my artwork, and we can both sound like we're not trying to suck our own dicks in public.
I'm not that flexible.
Yeah. Well, you are, but only in private. Grim says, any chance we could get all the chat effect only items to work on players in hardcore? There are some people that need snowballed and nerfed badly. You can't nerf people in hardcore because it would ruin their hardcore runs.
Right.
And the snowballs and the jaw bruisers, we would get so many complaints if we let you do that to people who had no recourse.
Yeah.
To get rid of it. And so it really, I'm right there with you, Grim. I feel like you should be able to do it, but I would not be able to sleep owing to the screams of people constantly trying to get me to change it back.
Do you think people
are
going to save up snowballs and bring them to con to throw at you?
I don't know. Like in the freezer, so they're all hard.
Yeah.
Break out all my teeth.
Teeth?
I was just thinking I could use less teeth. Fewer teeth?
Just
how much teeth do I want? Princess Edward says, you guys kick so much ass. It is unbecoming of a princess to speak in all caps. Just want you to know that. A deadhead says, the backwards class image would make a great tattoo such that when no outfit is equipped, it would show the player facing an inversion, their nemesis, at the top of the profile. Except the tattoos are much smaller.
Yeah, they're the wrong size.
The Amazing says, hey guys, listening to old radio shows has turned me on to a number of things that I've really enjoyed. The metamorphosis of prime intellect was neat. So I remember...
That was cool.
Did I read that?
Have you not read it?
I don't know.
Xenophobe was the one that told me about it.
Right. Did you read it?
I did.
Didn't it have a bunch of rapes and stuff in it?
Kinda. I'm not sure I know what you're talking about.
It was a short story.
It's a lot of violence. A lot of violence.
Huh.
Like the whole thing is about death, basically.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember if I read it or not. But anyway, cool. Anyway, he says, the metamorphosis of Prime Intellect was neat. I now enjoy Bush beer, and the Lost Room was most excellent. And this is where he loses us. I'm having a bit more trouble with Neutral Milk Hotel, though. I'm enjoying the album, but I'm having a hard time seeing it as the second coming that you guys do. What am I missing?
Which album?
Oh, A Soul?
Which album?
Okay, if you, by some accident, picked up On Avery Island instead of The Airplane Over the Sea, then I could see you feeling that way. So we got to make sure that you're listening to The Airplane Over the Sea.
Yeah. Have you even listened to Avery Island? On Avery Island?
Yeah. I feel like I've listened to it all the way through, like, two or three times.
Okay.
Not, you know, it didn't crazy grab me. There's some good stuff on it. I mean, it's definitely, like, if you want some more Neutral Milk Hotel, it gives you some.
Right. I think it's interesting that you like Neutral Milk Hotel and, like, Johnny Newsom and stuff like that. Like, that's a very distinctive oral style.
Would you characterize them as being similar? Only in that they are shrill and grating.
Kind of nasally, yeah.
I mean, because, so I would say, like...
The songs are also kind of complicated. Like, the sort of the narrative of the songs are often pretty complicated, and the words are often, you know, sort of more
literate. I do enjoy a complicated narrative.
You know.
The Neutral Milk Hotel, like, I feel like Johanna Newsom uses a much broader vocabulary than Neutral Milk Hotel.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, I mean... Because the Airplane Over the Sea is basically, like, you know, it's probably written at, like, a third grade reading level, right? Like, it's not, there's nothing...
But not conceptually.
There's nothing fancy. No, I mean, conceptually, it's kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
As long as the only places you go are Anne Frank's attic. But, like, and, I don't know, some incest domestic abuse.
I mean, clearly, so here's the thing, though, right? Things that are good, things that are really good... are almost by definition going to have a smaller number of people who like them than things that are just sort of okay, right? Like, TV for a long time suffered from, like, trying to appeal to the masses, and so they would definitely pitch things towards sort of the lowest common denominator.
So it's interesting to hear you say that, though, like, because what does it mean to be good?
Popular doesn't necessarily equate to good,
sure.
Right?
But, I mean, what does it mean to be good? Right? Because if you ask... I mean, that's the thing. Like, I feel like there is a measure of condescension associated with the consumption of any media in a thoughtful way. Right? There has to be.
There's some condescension.
Yeah. Because I feel like... Okay, so you would describe Neutral Milk Hotel as good.
Yeah.
Say, better than...
Cats.
Britney Spears.
Sure.
Whatever. Right? Just as the sort of go-to... pop thing, which, you know, I feel like is arguable. But, like, who are you that you get to decide that one of those things is good and one of them is not? Because most people disagree with you.
Well,
right.
But that's what I'm saying, is that...
You know, well, but those good in what aspect? I mean, you have to ask.
There's also good for me, right? Which is, every time I say something is good, I'm saying it is good for me, right? And so...
I mean, it is not that I don't agree with you. It is a hard thing to put labels on, right? Like, Moon is a fucking good movie. I think it is inarguably a good movie. But there are, like, a ton of people would just be like, oh, fuck that boring bullshit.
Yeah,
I'm gonna watch Avatar.
Right. So that's what I'm saying, though. It's like when we describe something as good, it is distinctly possible that the fact that we like it just means that it appeals to our very specific sensibilities. And the better it is, the more it is in tune with a smaller subset of sensibilities, I think, right? Like,
I do feel like, you know, this came up on the last, or the next to last Idle Thumbs. Like, somebody wrote in, and they were like, you know, can you describe, or can you, like, I forget what it was. It was some game that this reader had played, and was like, you know, I get that this is good, but I don't like it.
Right.
Right.
I don't know if I told you about this, but, like, I really wish that Netflix... I think I have told you about this. Netflix had two ratings, because I will often want to say, I didn't really like this movie, but I recognize that it is good.
Right.
And I really like this movie, even though I recognize that it's kind of bad.
Well, Netflix ratings are... The purpose of them is to find more... movies that you want to watch.
Yeah.
So I mean, it could be doing that on times, multiple axes,
yeah,
right?
I really, like, there are a lot of times that I want to have seen a bunch of movies, even if I don't necessarily, even if I'm not going to like them. Right, and so for me, which I realize that this is something that probably very few Netflix users would want. But like, I try to rate them based on whether I like them or not, not whether I think they're good or bad movies. So
I mean, that's the question. Like, where do we get off deciding what's good? Like, where do the critics get? Because I mean, you know, say like Psychonauts, good video game, right?
Well,
right, and it, so
but I feel like
critical success,
say,
and it's like, so in my mind, like, something that people who devote their lives to thinking about movies think is a good movie is, you know, if it is possible for something to be objectively good, then maybe a movie that is critically well received is objectively good.
Well, so, but that's okay, but here what I'm saying is we can say Neutral Milk Hotel is objectively good, but what I'm saying is something that is objectively good, it's almost like the better it is,
the less likely somebody you tell about it is to like it.
Yeah.
It depends on who you're talking to, right? Because like, I feel like there's also this sort of filtering effect of like, the more time you spend in the world, the more. Maybe this is not the case. This is certainly the case with me. I feel like the more time that I am alive, the more I associate with like-minded people.
Okay. Or perhaps right. It is that.
I'm curious if you feel that way, because I feel like you were surrounded by a lot more people that you would characterize as like-minded, say, 3 years ago than you are now.
Well, I feel like I transition a lot between social groups every couple of years, you know. I mean,
oh, does that mean you're leaving soon?
Not necessarily.
I miss you.
But, you
Who
know, going,
the toilet paper
going from high school to college was, you know, sort of a very distinctive one, and then being out of college, but in sort of a, you know, the Boston area was sort of a particular thing, and then like, you know, like I feel like people do that a lot, right? Unless you never leave your hometown, you're going to be transitioning, and then, but people tend to post college, if you're following sort of the traditional sort of educational path, I guess, get into one particular scheme, and then they don't necessarily ever change after that. So in that regard, maybe that is true.
Riff likes video games that I don't like at all.
Yeah.
But I think, for the most part, if I like a video game, Riff will probably like it too.
Okay.
I think that's often been the case.
Yeah.
So he has a broader sort of...
Right. Because he will deal with that fucking Phoenix Wright shit.
I think I have more patience than you do.
Yeah.
I think that is certainly true. Because I am one of the least patient people. Like, you know, I'm not even going to finish that sentence. I don't have time for that thought. I've got shiny things to look at in some other corner of the room. It's really driving me nuts being tethered to this soundboard.
I think would be kind of cool would be some way to review video games or movies or whatever such that you could describe the features of it so that, like, you would know whether or not somebody could say, well, I like movies that have a lot of violence in them, so I like this movie or this video game or whatever, right? I feel like the Music Genome Project does that, right? So they deconstruct songs into, you know, potentially hundreds of different categories.
Apparently, I'm a big fan of extensive vamping.
Yeah. Right, but that's interesting. Like, I feel like you could do that with video games and with movies. There's just less of it. So it's harder to... I mean, I feel like that, you know, there are tens of thousands of movies out there, but there are hundreds of thousands or millions of songs.
And it is also, I think, harder to distill a two-hour movie than a three-minute song down to consistent features. You know,
but
like, this movie has a lot of blue in it. You
but
know,
I think it will
which
happen.
Which does not mean as much as, like, this song is in a minor key.
Right.
The whole thing is in a minor key.
But I think it will happen. I think it, you know, maybe just sort of data mining Netflix, you could potentially, I don't know, derive these categories.
Do you think?
I think it's possible. I think it's possible that would be true.
So, I mean, you I guess if you found the right, like, sort of patient zero, you could probably just lift there. So, like, let's say there's a dude who really likes watching little kids get beaten up, right? Like, you could probably rate every movie that guy has ever seen based on his Netflix ratings and determine, all right, which movies have the most little kids getting beaten up.
Right.
Of course, that relies on his knowledge of that to be comprehensive.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that is a problem, right? With a 2-hour movie, you know, maybe you're really into puppies, and there was one scene with a puppy in it, and so that made that movie sort of much higher in your preference scale.
Right.
So, I do find that I am likely to feel that any movie in which a dude headbutts another dude in the face to be a more awesome movie than one that does not
really?
Feature that.
Huh.
And therefore, the two best movies I have ever seen in my life were the first Matrix movie and Ninja Scroll.
Huh.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of headbutting in the face.
A lot of headbutting.
How much headbutting is there in the Matrix?
There's two sequences of headbutting, and I think it's like four headbutts each.
Huh.
Three or four.
So I feel like a concert video of Wesley Willis would be a video that you would
that
like
would
a lot.
Be sweet
that would
as
be a
hell.
Really
yeah.
good movie
does,
for you.
Does that mean, is that why you like, oh man, what is that band that you had the ringer on your phone set to for a while?
Oh.
MSI,
but I only like that one MSI song. Other than that, I haven't listened to MSI.
But the video for it, there's
the
a lot of
it,
there's
awesome.
A lot of head butting.
Well, head banging.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember him specifically.
Does he? Does he not
anybody in that
headbutt
video.
One of the customers?
I don't remember.
Zeltang writes: how many weeks until Riff finishes the next stage of the Nemesis quest?
negative. How many is it now?
That's pretty funny. maybe this is a huge meme that it isn't even worth talking about, but everybody should see the OK Go video.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that is the most recent post on minimumsafedistance.org.
Available online at minimumsafedistance.org.
Yeah, because that's pretty cool. And it's not they have two videos for that song, one of which was...
The marching band one?
That was
okay.
Which is also pretty cool.
It was neat. But
you know, when I saw the link on Boing Boing to, oh, look, a Rube Goldberg video, I was like, eh, whatever. But then when I watched it, I was like, ooh, I got a chill or two there.
Yeah, they did a really good job.
They did a really good job.
So, okay, objectively good, you might not like it. But, you know, it's like 3.5 minutes out of your life.
That's
Watch
true.
It.
Prudence says, what happens to karma if you don't discard it or use it before you ascend? Nothing!
Well, it goes to Hank's.
What?
If you just ascend. it's like anything else that isn't a quest item.
Lord Stefano says, can we right-click to use dolphin whistles when we purchase them from Big Brother? There's probably something... There's probably an include that I'm supposed to drop in. Whoa. What happened here?
What's up?
Something weird.
Are we still broadcasting?
Yeah, we are. I do not know what happened to the Radio Bugbear questions, because the one that I was looking at...
Yeah.
At the top of the list where I,
Did you flush something?
Flushed them. Was no longer at the top of the list when it actually...
Which
reloaded?
Which one were you? You so you were reading the.
I was reading the dolphin whistle one.
Yeah.
And now the top one on my list is the one from Angry Klingon asking me why I posted fart 6 in newbie.
I see.
We were in Orlando. This was pretty funny. We were in Orlando, and I pushed someone away from a computer and just started spamming about farts in newbie. As them, and Werebear warned them, and then I was like, no, dude, it's me. And then I spent a little while in private messages convincing Werebear that it was me, so that he would let it go. I'd been drinking.
Did you not get banned anyway?
No, didn't get banned.
Oh, okay.
Didn't get banned. So then people were telling stories about it the next day, asking if it was actually me or if it was just a legend. The legend of fart 6. And I didn't mean to type fart 6. I meant to type fart.
Carrot.
Then, yeah, fart carrot. Yeah. Because I was going to raise that to a power.
Right.
It was going to be 6. So it's a dubious
close
typo in both directions. But
yeah.
Yeah, so then I just typed fart 6 as me into newbie to settle the score, and then JLE was all pissed. He was like, admin spamming the chat.
Ziggy Zagnut says, hey guys, the Lava Maze kept me busy for 3 hours, but I finally solved it without spoilers. Genius, keep sweetness coming.
So you want more stuff like that?
Oh, you got it. done.
Every game.
Problem solved.
Because we put in the chess puzzles.
Yeah.
The trouble that some people are having with the chess puzzle is very...
The lack of understanding was really surprising to me. Like, it's... Yeah. I guess... The thing is, we have spent our entire lives playing games, right? Like, there are a number of people who play KOL that are not like us, so they just don't necessarily get the
Everyone
tropes.
Who plays KOL is exactly like us in every regard.
They don't necessarily get the tropes, and so I can sort of see that, I guess. I mean, there's not a lot of... If you don't know how chess works, and if you don't know sort of what...
Right, well, so we had this conversation in our last meeting, and I kind of concluded that it is not our responsibility to teach people how to play chess.
That is true.
Right?
That
like,
is true.
You, it tells you which things you can click on, so you can definitely... It's not like not knowing how to play chess is going to leave you stuck in that puzzle.
Right.
For the first few, anyway.
Baby Scarface says, instant karma overriding hardcore path rewards really, really, really sucks.
So don't create a situation where that happens.
Yeah, I mean, that's
so
opt-in, it seems really easy to us to just avoid that situation.
That said, you know, I spent a lot of time arguing with Liker Shampoo about how she thinks that that's wrong.
Yeah. It's a weird situation because it's not something that we ever even thought people would be upset with, because it's just
right.
This is such an optional, such a new thing.
It is entirely additive, right? And like,
yeah.
so what, you know, it's like, we didn't really need to learn this lesson, but like, anything that people can get pissed off about, they will, right? So
yeah.
that's a thing.
Yeah. Fifth Element says, anyone there like Rush? I saw them in concert and it totally blew my mind. Literally.
I was a big Rush fan in high school before I discovered, like, Thrill Kill Cult and KMFDM.
I've sort of always hated Rush.
I like, what, Tom Sawyer?
Yeah.
That one song? That's, like, the only Rush song that I really care about. All the other ones are sort of, eh.
Every time I think about Rush, it reminds me of this buddy of mine who got his brother to drop acid for the first time when he was, like, 40 at a Rod Stewart concert.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Rod Stewart concert does not seem like the LSD scene.
What? I thought everything was the LSD scene. Anywhere you can think in circles and see pretty colors. Keep reading questions, Hot Stuff, because I don't know.
Kieselis asks, why weren't Riff and Hot Stuff at Disney? Did you chain them to desks at the office?
Yep, they were working on the Nemesis Quest.
It was horrible.
I don't know if that's true or not.
We were.
Yeah.
We weren't chained there.
No.
Wait, didn't the Nemesis roll before Orlando?
I don't think so.
Hmm. Yeah. Hot Stuff... Riff doesn't like to leave the house, and Hot Stuff is a girl and doesn't like to drink.
I mean, I've done the around the world thing before.
No, you really haven't.
I did it last
time. You
snuck
off in the middle of it to vomit and didn't tell me about it. So, you don't... That doesn't count? No, you didn't do it.
I see. Whatever. Anyway...
Here's an illustrative example of why that doesn't count. Let's say that you wanted to enter a hot dog eating contest, right?
Yeah.
And you saw a Japanese man eat 100 hot dogs. And you swallowed a hot dog, vomited it up, ate it again, vomited it up, and repeated that process 151 times. Would you have won the hot dog eating contest?
No. I would also have failed at life. So,
well, I would argue that by sneaking off to vomit in the middle of drinks around the world at Epcot Center, you did in fact fail at life.
I would imagine that if we were competing, I would have been disqualified, but I think that was not
there
the
are
case.
No points for second best.
Yeah.
You know Hot Stuff, second place is first loser.
Yeah.
You know Hot Stuff, he who dies with the most toys still dies.
Did you... So you should have now the keywords, the mall search is the next question. Scooter 270.
Yeah. I don't know what that means. Scooter 2701 says, hey guys, have you ever thought of adding keywords to the mall search or a spell checker type thing? Because that would be awesome. P.S. You guys rule. You know what's weird is that there are no typos in his question to Radio Bugbear. So clearly he's capable of spelling correctly when he wants to.
Somebody was asking for a Mr. Store category in the mall search.
Yeah, see, I have tricks in the mall.
There are a couple of yeah, sort of
just
like...
just sets, like sets of items, yeah.
But we don't have anything that is...
We could publicize those.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good idea, though.
Why wouldn't it be? I mean...
Well, sometimes they're...
Spoilery?
Spoilery, yeah.
But they're not.
Okay.
I don't think... I mean, if there was an item in the mall, it is basically beyond spoiler territory, I think.
I don't know about that.
Right, so what I would not do is, like, here's a search for items that can be used to get trophies. Right? Like, that would be spoilery.
Sure.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that, buddy. That's a thing with which I can agree. Oh, man. I think we should play some Neutral Milk Hotel during the break.
Okay. It is after 9, and we didn't even have an intro song, so we've been talking for over an hour.
Over an hour. No, except we were fucking late.
We weren't that late. Transition happened instantly.
All right, so we're going to do just a few minutes of music. We'll see you soon, kids.
Two, one, two, three, four. We'll be right back.
Be moved by that. Whoever that was is a jerk. Damn it. Simeon says, so is Pandemonium ever going to be an actual zone? It's going to be a bunch of zones. Like 40. This is a quest, an epic quest spanning 40 zones that Riff is going to write. So, a couple years? Stubach 2 says, you acknowledge tonight that spell crits are frustrating to a certain type of player, so how about making a permeable skill that's a self-buff whose only effect is no spell crits? I'd use that all the time during my mist runs, where crits are usually harmful. Or instead of that, if you made Sauce Geyser tuned to Waves Splashback, people wouldn't mind crits so much. What does it mean to make Sauce Geyser tuned to Waves Splashback? Like, make Sauce Geyser always pick the correct element?
Is it the element or the amount of damage? Right, because it's at some point you're going, you've got too much damage, and you get right. Like that's the problem.
But Geyser wouldn't hurt you in relation to something that Wave did, right? Because we've got that whole like progression, right?
Yeah, I forget how that works.
It was awesome. I remember being really excited about the idea and then the implementation being really messy. That was what I remembered.
Because we made it such that off class castings were much less beneficial.
Right. I wonder if he means forcing them to be the same element.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I think what happens is with Wave, Wave gives you the soul or whatever, and then Sauce Geyser, like, it makes your next spell that is the same temperature return a bunch of MP. Right?
Why would crits have any impact on that at all, though?
I don't know.
That's why I feel like it has to be a quantity thing.
A quantity of damage thing. Hell, I don't know. Darth Vidar says, I would like to request a familiar specific equipment for my black cat who has been very loyal to me. But, you know, he walks the earth with no possessions, you know? It's against the black cat's religion to carry shit around. Darth Vidar says, because accordion thieves can infiltrate other guilds, why aren't they allowed access to the Walk of Ages or the Smashy thing if they have the right skills? Because those are in particularly well-lit corners. Despite what the description may say. Glebes writes, Glebes, it was weird. I was listening to the Overthinking It podcast the other day. Available online at overthinkingit.com. And they did a reader mail show. And like 3 or 4 comments in a row came from KOL people.
Hmm. That's because the KOL people are interesting
KOL
and interested.
Interesting and interested. And they always say, found you from the Kingdom of Loathing podcast. And then they talk about the Kingdom of Loathing. The Kingdom of Loathing.
Of loathing.
The Iraq. Glebes wrote, rename Turtle Tamer skills to reflect the 7 aspects from the flail. Only wisdom, patience, tenacity, and fortitude have skills related to them. What are the others?
I would have to look it up.
I mean, they basically correspond to the 3 undiscovered Turtle Tamer skills, right?
Right.
Yeah.
each one of which has a trophy associated with it.
That's true, yeah. Actually, each one of which has 7 trophies associated with it. Well, no, there are 7 undiscovered skills total.
Right.
Including Star Trek V, the undiscovered skill.
Country bumpkin skill.
reading a book about Johnny Appleseed, among other things. Pretty interesting. Being sick was a good opportunity to read some of Michael Pollan's The Botany of Desire. It's about plants.
Do you think he was sort of compelled to write about plants because of his last name?
I don't know. It's not spelled the same way.
Yeah, but it sounds the same.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. He wasn't compelled to write about angels because of his first name.
Maybe he just hasn't gotten there yet.
Maybe you're right.
What about angel plants?
His middle name is... Star Trek the Original Series erotic fanfiction. Which is weird, because I think he was born before the original series even came out. Like, why would you name your kid that? Listen to the last little bits of that cold
maybe
rattling around in my chest.
Gene Roddenberry worked at a hospital.
Oh, and got the idea
from... From Michael Pollan's parents. From the birth certificate.
Oh, yeah.
Or was a clerk, perhaps.
I couldn't figure out how a hospital tied into that. And I'm like, oh, right, people are born in hospitals.
Sometimes.
And they die in them.
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with us as a culture? I want to die neck deep in a vagina.
That sometimes happens.
I feel like that hardly ever happens. I guess when babies die.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Now I feel bad.
That's what I was going for. And it was tying into the whole hospital thing, but you had to go there literally. You had to make it explicit.
Do you think Gene Roddenberry had, like, some sort of nurse fetish? Because wasn't his wife, like, the hot nurse? Maybe I'm just thinking... I'm assuming it's a nurse because it's a woman.
Her voice was a computer.
She was a computer, but she also played some hot doctor. Or some hot scientist or something.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Do you think that science, in general, gives people a boner? I mean, I guess the science of hydrodynamics...
Well, I was going to say, Pfizer, as a scientific company, did a lot for that.
That's true. But they only give old people boners. They only give boners to golfers.
Yeah.
We had that argument where I don't really want to open this can of worms, because I feel like even though I feel like this is an entirely gender neutral thing, it makes me sound sexist, where somebody was like, it is bullshit that medical insurance will not pay for birth control pills, but it will pay for Viagra. And my response to that was, well, that's, I feel like, a reasonable thing, because Viagra actually sort of treats an illness. And in a case where birth control pills were medically necessary for the health of a woman, medical insurance does pay for them. And then somebody was like, you're sexist. I'm like, not really.
I don't feel like...
The argument being, well, no, you know who runs medical insurance companies is old men who like having boners. And that's why. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I just don't know how to feel about that. Because your health insurance does not cover... If health insurance covered condoms for men, but not birth control pills for women, then that would be a thing worth commenting on.
Yeah.
Right? But...
I don't think your medical insurance or your health insurance would cover an 18-year-old guy getting Viagra if he was totally healthy, right?
Right.
So...
The 18-year-old guy would have to demonstrate an inability to get a boner. Maybe that's not so hard, right? Like, I'm sorry, you're going to have to not get a boner for 10 minutes.
Thinking about grandma.
You just think about grandma. Baseball. You think about your grandmother playing baseball.
Yeah, while doing some math.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know. Do you think the average 18-year-old does not get a boner when he does math?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think that is... Well, I mean, maybe math has become increasingly sexy, and that's why...
I mean, that
the test scores are getting...
That Danica McKellar is making math pretty sexy.
That's true. McKellar? Is that her last name?
Is that her last name? I think that's... I don't know. One of them is a NASCAR driver who I think is stupid, and then... Something about being named Danica apparently makes you hot and famous.
I don't know that Winnie is famous.
Oh, come on. She's famous. She's Winnie Cooper.
Yeah.
Ask anybody.
It's weird that the Wonder Years sort of... It wasn't really on that long, I don't feel like.
I mean, I feel like it was, like, for people who are exactly our age, it has a certain resonance because the protagonist was exactly our age as the series progressed. And he had a lot more interesting things happen to him than happened to me, at least. Your mileage may vary. I, for instance, never got to kiss Winnie Cooper even once.
It's because you're not named Kevin.
Maybe you're right. Maybe that is it. Maybe I should change my name and pretend to be a grade school girl who is dangerously disinterested in math. I feel like that would draw... That would draw Winnie's attention forthwith.
If you were pretending to be a girl?
Yeah, if I were pretending to be... Because I feel like the kind of person that she wants to reach out to...
Oh, I see.
Is
but then
I
don't think she's
girl in grade
kiss
school.
The grade school girl.
I mean, if I were trying to get a grade school girl interested in math, I can tell you right now that my technique would involve a lot of kissing.
A lot of tongue?
Not necessarily. You don't have to get vulgar.
Tongues aren't vulgar.
To grade school girls, they are.
I see.
There is a threshold. High school freshman, first base for math education. There are rules. See, this is the kind of thing they teach you when you get a teaching certificate.
Wow.
Is how to teach girls math. Really, you know, just kidding about all of this, because you can't teach girls math.
See, I think that makes you sound a lot
No,
more.
Come on. Really, I think what makes me sound sexist is my rampant sexism.
Well, but that can't be true, right? Because you could be a rampant sexist and just never say anything, and you wouldn't sound sexist.
Well, I don't know. How do you define
and
you define rampant?
Your
I mean,
open mouth.
I think that you cannot have rampant anything if you are not allowing it to rampage. And the way that rampaging works, I'm sorry, the way that sexism.
Don't you climb up the side of buildings and punch in windows.
Yeah, and if you punch downwards, it does more damage to the building, but gives you fewer flowers to eat. I don't remember what the fuck. I could never figure out.
Yeah.
In playing Rampage, which things were good to eat and which things were bad.
I think you just sort of had to learn by rote.
Yeah, you don't think that like that you were not meant to establish any rules. Because you'd get to the point where, all right, I don't want to punch this thing that's plugged in because it'll electrocute me.
Right.
So then, but some things make you burp fire. Is that bad?
Like the signs.
Right. I don't know about the TVs and stuff. You're always supposed to eat women, I think. That's a thing.
Unless there were the
army guys that had grenades, you weren't supposed to eat.
Oh,
right,
because
then you'd burp fire. Or if you ate a Hispanic woman, you would belch fire. So you had to watch out for the ones with dark hair. Is it racist to believe that Hispanic women have dark hair?
It might be racist to believe that they make you belch fire.
Huh. Well, okay.
Wow. Touché!
I hadn't even thought of that. Wow, I was just put in my place pretty comprehensively. Grevinilvek75 says, "Hey, Jack, farming pirate insults still sucks. You know, it didn't suck to begin with, and so your assertion that it still sucks is without meaning or merit. As is the number 75. Zvi Blumen says, "When you get more than one option from a chat macro, can we click on the one we want, please? You'll have to ask Uncle C.D. Moyer about that. I don't know, really. It wouldn't probably be too hard to make that happen. Just to put in some kind of JavaScript that just has it, when you click on it, it just retypes it with that particular item."
Huh. That would be super useful, I feel like. Except for the switching back and forth between keyboard and mouse.
Yeah.
But not having to type it a second time would be nice.
Yeah. I mean, to me, though, what that does to me is it makes me look at those things, find the shortest unique string, and type it.
So you learn how to do things?
Well, no, because when I do something in a chat command with an item, I'm probably never going to do it again. Right? So it's not about learning, it's just about accomplishing whatever I set out to accomplish.
I see.
I don't play this game.
That's the thing. You're not trying to spend 200 turns a day
doing stuff. So. Yeah. But somebody who is, it seems like, getting to the point where they could do it quickly. What I would hate to see is the default behavior be slash use A. And then, that would obviously say too many possibilities or whatever. But rather than slash use blue snow cone, slash use snow cone and then click on the snow cone you want and then click in the chat box and hit enter, And that's a stupid reason not to add a feature. In fact, I don't even know why I started talking. In fact, what are we even doing making a podcast? What are we even doing on the radio?
Yeah, I don't know.
How did anybody ever decide that it was a good idea to
put
us on
the
radio?
We were doing this before podcasts were a thing. Right?
I know. And now I think of it as a podcast, because I'm all into podcasts. Even though before, I'm sure that somebody on a previous podcast could find me yelling about how podcasts are stupid.
There's no such thing.
I did not say that podcasts were stupid. I said that there did not need to be such a word as podcast, because what a podcast was just an RSS feed to a bunch of MP3s.
Yeah.
Right? Episodic audio content. And that rolls right off the fucking tongue, doesn't it?
But then all somebody had to do was point out that podcasts are RSS feeds of MP3s.
That are indexed by iTunes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And suddenly you were okay with it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it became a word that was meaningful.
Yep.
It was, when it caught on, I was like, oh, okay, I guess I can mindlessly follow all the rest of the sheeple.
I mean, we mocked Twitter.
I don't think I ever mocked Twitter.
We kind of mocked Twitter.
Hmm. But did we ever mock Tazuma?
I don't know, Turtles, I think.
Oh, right.
Combat, in general.
Did we ever mock Hoopiku? Did we ever Airwolf? I was trying to think of things that moved faster than the speed of sound, and I don't think Airwolf is among them. Could you have a supersonic helicopter?
It had jets on the back of it.
How did that work?
Because once you get going fast enough, you don't need much in the way of wings, really, right? As long as you get generating enough lift from the shape of the craft.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess rockets.
Right,
rockets
and they had little...
What about always maxi pads? If you had an always maxi pad with a jet on the back of it,
or a Red Bull.
How do you think its flight performance would compare to a generic maxi pad with no wings?
I think the generic would be worse.
You think?
Yeah.
Do you think it would be more likely to burn up on reentry?
Yeah.
If you tried to send it to the moon.
Yeah.
Wings don't help you get to the moon.
Well, they help you get...
They don't help you get to the sun, either. Just ask Daedalus.
He wasn't trying to get to the sun.
If you ask Daedalus... No, that's the story. Icarus was all like, I'm flying to the sun. I'm going to bring back some sunflower seeds. Because he was really hungry.
And stupid.
God.
What I don't understand is how would you use wax in a meaningful way to make wings?
Well, it's wax and feathers. The wax was holding the feathers together.
Yeah.
And there was some wood, I think.
Yeah, like wood frame and melt
wax.
Well,
because he was using science to design the wings, and so it gave him wood.
Oh, right. Okay.
And it was basically, the closer he got to the sun, the more excited he got about both science and sunflower seeds, so the more of an erection he got. And eventually he became so unaerodynamic because of his big flopping dong.
Or not flopping.
For sure, right. His rigid dong. The rigid superstructure of his fuselage.
Wow.
Yeah. You've gone off the fucking rails.
You've jumped the shark.
Glebe says, this is interesting.
Yeah.
Instant karma in the basement somewhere. Level 10,000.
I mean, we could put it deep enough that no one would ever get it, but it would be there.
I mean, it could be the next increment after the telescope or whatever.
That was actually the first thing that we did.
Yeah.
You know, that is something. We could start giving them karma instead of that gift certificate or whatever. Because what do we give them now? Like 50,000 meat or some bullshit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we could start giving them karma after they've done the telescope. So people who just like it could do it and sell the karma in the mall.
That's a good
Can't
idea. I like that.
Yeah.
Song giveaway says, when attacking the C-Zones, why is it that I never see the Dolphin Thieves steal an item that Grandpa told you about? Ooh, I think you've discovered a conspiracy. I think the Dolphins don't take anything that has a real conditional on it.
Yeah.
We've got to fucking fix that. I've got to make C.D. Moyer just make it a fucking
normalized
checkbox for whether a thing is pickpocketable or not.
Yeah.
It would be trivial to do.
Yeah.
Trivial, I tell you.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Dolphins don't steal things with conditionals unless that conditional is a bogus conditional that is only there to prevent pickpocketing. Yeah.
Well, how does it know?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, we use various syntax to make those no pickpocket.
Right, but I think we tend to... I tend to just use the autocomplete from my browser to add that conditional, and I think other people do too. And so I think C.D. Moyer just looked at all of them, wrote a regular expression that checks for all of them.
Huh.
And so, basically, unless we do something weird and new, it will continue to work. And, like, worst case is that we make something immune to dolphin theft.
True.
apparently, Roddenberry's wife was Luxwana Troy.
Right, she was. But she was
also a nurse.
She was in the original series, she was some, like, hot nurse.
Nurse Chapel?
I don't know. Isn't there supposed to be some separation of hospital and church?
No, there's usually a chapel in the church.
Hmm. But there's not usually a...
Chapel in
there's usually a chapel in a church. There's usually a chapel... But there is not usually a hospital in a church.
Well, there's a font.
Is it Helvetica?
I watched the documentary Helvetica.
You could use the font to sterilize your instruments. If the water had been blessed and turned into Barbasol. That would be the worst superpower ever. Well, I mean, it'd be great if you, like, you know, ran a barber supply shop, I guess. You could save money on Barbasol. How much do you suppose Barbasol costs? Like, what if I just wanted a jar of it sitting around looking blue?
I mean, you could just get, like, windshield wiper fluid for that, right? Antifreeze.
Yeah, but then my cat would drink it.
How about blue food coloring in water?
Then it would settle.
Would it?
I don't know. It seems like it would settle eventually.
I don't know that that's true.
Yeah,
I feel like the Brownian motion would keep it going.
Yeah, you and your Brownian motion. You go to the Exploratorium and you learn one word, and then you won't shut up about it for months.
I I was really excited about that.
You knew about Brownian motion before, anyway. You knew about Brownian motion from the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy Infocom game.
But I got to see Brownian motion in action.
It was pretty cool. I have to admit that even though that was probably the single least exciting exhibit at the Exploratorium for anyone else, I thought it was pretty cool, as well as you thinking that it was pretty cool. In fact, I thought it was cool that you thought it was cool.
Whoa. Wow. Riff just exploded. Yeah, the more I think about it, the more I wonder at the Exploratorium what the hell was going on with that vortex of smoke thing. That by itself, this column of smoke sort of rose in sort of a little twister vortex thing. But if you wanted to, you could run up and screw it up.
Yeah. No, I mean, my theory is that the people running the Exploratorium were like, you know what? All we do all day is build cool shit for kids to fuck up. So let's just make something whose purpose is a cool thing for kids to fuck up.
Yeah. The number of times that you'd be, like, messing with something and just almost have sort of, like, reached some sort of, like, critical understanding or, like, balance or whatever, and some kid would just, like, push in front of you and, like, knock it over. This happened, like, 4 or 5 times. Yeah. So frustrating.
I mean, that's the thing. I realize this is a place for little kids, but it would be really awesome to go there at a point where there were no fucking kids allowed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
It's not designed for little kids. It's just kid-friendly.
You know? If I had run up to something that somebody was messing with and, like, just smacked it or knocked it over, that would have been the last thing I did at that place. My parents would have grabbed me, and we would have gone home, and I would not have gotten to see the rest of the Exploratorium. The fuck is wrong with people? Fucking laws telling you you're not supposed to lock your kids in the basement for, like, a week at a time.
It's the last thing you would have seen ever.
Yeah, we didn't see anything. GigaShadow555 says, all the nerds hating on XKCD are mostly hating because other nerds who never shut up about how amazing it is. Fucking nerds. I think that XKCD is pretty good.
Yep. I will agree.
Not gonna never shut up about how amazing it is. Although the Tautology Club comic was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
In fact, I might go so far as to say that it is the greatest thing that has ever been committed on ink to paper.
Do you think he draws it and scans it?
I doubt it. I don't know. I doubt it. Yes. I dwove. Evangion Q says, can you add a means to track which skills are made permanent with which ascension? It'd be weird to start doing it now.
It'd be, it'd be very much ex post facto for most people.
Greenin72 writes, dear Jick, do you use the same mechanic as Ultra Rares to decide which radio questions you pick? If so, could you tell us the specifics of the question picking mechanic?
Oh boy.
Mixie says, I had over 600 Aftercore turns to play today because of the Feast of Boros. I wanted to try out my new neat combat skills from defeating my nemesis, but seriously, 600 turns? Where do you guys stand at this point on making some kind of combat macro part of the native interface? In Aftercore, there was no threat to me whatsoever, and if I could use 3 dance moves with 1 button press, I absolutely would.
Where do we stand on making food give you less turns?
I am totally in favor of it.
You set the bar too high.
I know, man.
15 fullness. You should just give people one fullness. You need one food.
You can have one breakfast item, one lunch item, and one dinner item.
How about one fullness per level?
That wouldn't help. That would make it even worse in Aftercore.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but that's Aftercore.
But that's what this is what this person's complaining about.
That's true.
600
turns. I like your game, but I have too many opportunities to play it.
Well, but part of the problem there is you feel like you are definitely wasting something if
you don't do the disco combos to get the improved item drops.
Not just that.
In this case, though.
You are wasting something if you have 600 turns to play in a day just because you could eat up to 35 fullness or whatever, but then if you don't play them all, you're going to lose anything over, 150 or how many ever turn to get from rollover, plus the, 200 cap. So, I feel like people would be slightly less upset in Aftercore if we didn't cap adventures in the same way.
I thought of something today.
Okay.
Tell me how you feel about this idea. I'm not sure how I feel about this idea. So, okay.
So this is just a random thought.
This is a random idea. Once you have spent 500 turns in a zone, say.
Yeah.
What would you think about tagging that zone as, like, depleted on farm? Right?
Okay.
Letting somebody then say...
Oh, just click once.
Click
to, like,
once to spend 100 adventures. And what it does is it... I mean, the problem with this is, like, buffs, right?
Yeah.
So, and just have it... But what it could do is it could just be like, all right, so it's going to roll for each monster. It's gonna deplete your stats.
And your
buffs. It's going to count your buffs down one at a time. But then just do it, you know? just generate a report saying you spent this many turns, you killed this many of this monster, this many of this monster, this many of this monster, and you got these items and this much meat.
It would definitely be faster.
Right.
For the game, because you wouldn't have to be hitting the inventory.
And it's
separately.
Equivalent to doing it, right? Like it's,
it is.
It's, you know... And it's equivalent or slightly disadvantageous. But I feel like Riff would do it. I would do it if I was playing. That's what I would do most days that I played, except when new content came out. Or if I was going for some specific goal that required me to be engaged.
Well.
Boy, if I'm ever going for a specific goal that requires me to be engaged, make me get a better prenup.
I think that it's a little weird. Let's say there is a zone that you've survived 500 adventures in, but is still difficult. Right.
Yeah.
Is that something that we would want to let people put on farm?
Do you think that that would ever happen with a regular zone?
Well, I'm thinking of El Vibrato stuff. Maybe.
We would not do it with that zone.
Okay.
Right, because, I mean, that one there are, like, specific actions that you have to take, or you automatically get killed by every fourth encounter, right?
Right.
Like, clearly there would be places... We wouldn't do it in clan dungeons. We wouldn't,
right.
You know...
So you wouldn't...
Anywhere where it was likely to be complicated, we would not let this happen. Right? But, like, the fucking peak, right? You know, let's say...
So, I mean, what it does is it lowers the barrier to entry for farming considerably.
It does, I guess, in terms of the amount of effort that you have to put in. The effort becomes slightly different, right? Because if you want to type 100 into that box, you need to make sure you have 100 turns of all your buffs.
Yeah, but that's not hard.
You probably do that anyway, right?
Yeah.
You know, I feel like if I were just farming the peak, I would probably in one fell swoop acquired 10,000 turns of the buffs that I wanted for farming,
right.
And then...
Right.
I mean, I do not know that I would be particularly averse to adding that feature.
The only thing that I'm afraid of is that it would...
Cause inflation.
It would cause inflation.
Causing more people to farm instead of just wasting their turns.
Because
it is basically no different than installing Mafia, right? It's just harder on the servers.
Sure.
It's significantly easier.
Counteracted in some way by having just a bunch more people doing it that don't do it now because it's too time consuming.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, having to spend the amount of turns that you that it requires would at least stop people from, like, you know, just multi-farming.
Yeah, no, I mean, it would be
easily,
something...
Right, which that is, like, sort of it's a higher barrier to entry than just using Mafia.
I mean, I think, you know, it would be really easy to tag this as something that the Multizar spends a little bit more time looking at, too.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
would it improve retention in the long run?
I'm wondering if you could
log in and spend 15 minutes and get what you felt like was a day's worth of goodies out of this game, would you be more likely to keep playing for that extra week or two until we add some new content that excites you again?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like you'd feel like the barrier to getting meat was lower, because it would cause inflation. It would potentially just raise all the prices to where even this wasn't useful in terms of acquiring stuff that you want, right?
I mean, it'd be weird because you'd have to in writing the thing to automatically play, you'd have to take into account like non-combats and stuff, right? You'd have to roll for everything individually.
Yeah.
Which would be weird. If the structure were simpler, you wouldn't, you know.
I mean, the people that are really maximizing income are doing complicated stuff that's based on market forces.
And right, and there would always be an advantage to playing all your turns. Like, for instance, you know, ever encountering an ultra-rare monster, right? Because that's something that we wouldn't do with people who are just...
Right.
You know, doing this thing. I don't know. I mean, it was just a thing that I was thinking about for some other reason earlier.
I mean, it definitely appeals to me in the sense of making the game better for everybody else.
Yeah. Because it's what I would want if I were playing.
It would reduce the lag.
You know, I mean, like, I would... If I could do that in Twilight Heroes, I would probably play Twilight Heroes every day. But I don't. Like, combat in Twilight Heroes requires too many mouse clicks in too many different places for me to feel like I can just log on. And it's a little weird, because, like, I don't find the combat in Twilight Heroes fun the way that I do in Metroplexity. Like, I'll play Metroplexity because there is, like, an actual game to the combat. And, you know, Twilight Heroes is more like our combat, which right. I feel like is just not... It's not fun in the long term, right?
So,
like,
but, okay, so here's
combat
the question.
Itself is
do
no
you,
fun.
Do you get to decide what disco combos you're going to use in that...
See, I would
turns.
Say no, you know?
Yeah, see, that's the problem, right?
But I don't think so. I think that is a problem for one dude, but it is a problem for one dude with a solution that is totally adequate for lots of other dudes.
So, you say that. How many people during Crimbo used the slot machines versus 21?
Dude, I have no idea.
I think it was mostly 21.
Right. If there is an advantage, people will go through any amount of tedium to do it.
You know, to some extent. People are pretty serious about the farming that they do, right? Because they'll, like, you know...
Some people are pretty serious about
the farming. A lot of people are pretty serious about the farming. In part because it's automated in a lot of ways. But, like, they'll look at a buff and they'll be like, okay, this buff, how much does it cost to get this buff? How much would I make... If I got the buff, that determines whether or not I use it, right? So, the idea is very interesting. Whether or not it would have some undesirable outcomes, I think, is definitely worth discussing a little bit more in depth.
So, Glebes wrote, make Sauce Geyser always do the same element as Wave so that we can reap the MP benefit of Frozen or Burning Soul. That's what Stu meant.
Right.
But then he says if you crit on Wave, you overkill the monster and lose the soul benefit without even being able to use a geyser.
Right.
So then...
So you kill the monster too quickly.
Right, but
You're trying to set up the...
But, so, how would making geyser tune to Wave...
It wouldn't.
...approach the same problem? So why did Stu say that it would?
Well...
Why did he say if you're not gonna remove crits, at least do that?
Well, because if you're critting and you're killing early, you're losing. If you are not critting but hitting the wrong element, you're killing early and losing. So get rid of one of them is what the argument is, right? Maybe I'm just not understanding, but that seems like what it sounds like to me. The idea is that you don't want to kill the thing before its time. No Man.
Yeah. God damn it, why can't I think of Citizen Kane, Orson Welles.
Yeah.
Like Orson Welles selling wine. Yeah. See, it wasn't even funny, because it took me so long to think of Orson Welles. It wasn't funny anyway.
My inability to remember things... as quickly as I want to, I think impinges on my ability to be funny a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's really frustrating.
Is that what it is?
It's one of the things.
Hush says, Happy Feast of Boris! 560 adventures from consumables, 759 with bank turns, and a 4-man whack-and-stick run.
Nice.
Now, see, that's cool. Combine says, so I just finished a radio show in which you were asked to make some plexiglass/steel outfits. Date of the show, March 26th, 2008. Finish them.
Wow, it's almost 2 years. Where the only thing that's waiting is tattoo art.
I know, but I fucking hate doing tattoo art.
Why do you hate the players so much?
I don't know. You know what I had to do for this goddamn item of the month was a whole bunch of fucking 50 by 50 arts. And then 60 more of them. Today, 62 more of them. Yeah. Two of them are blank.
Really?
Yeah. Why? I don't know. Why are two of them blank? Why are there two identical blanks? I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense.
One of them is called blank and one of them is called space.
Wow, really?
Yeah. I don't know what the fuck. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. Maybe one of those is never used. I don't know.
Weird, man.
Yeah, man. You know what this company could use is some fucking QA. Nah, we got Gamelli.
It's true.
Gamelli and Krovax are like a one-man QA team. I describe them as a one-man QA team because they only have one ball apiece. They're both either like or unlike Hitler. You could say that a man with one ball is exactly unlike Adolf Hitler because it's the other ball.
Yeah, I was going to say, it depends on which ball.
Yeah. I wonder if Lance Armstrong and Hitler were missing the same ball.
Wow. By bringing Hitler up, have you reduced this podcast to some sort of Godwinian...
What's the name of that Godwin?
Isn't it?
Godwin's I don't think so.
It's not Godwin.
Godwinian motion. let's see. Griffin says, hiya, it would be funny if the hoblogger missed... What's a hoblogger?
Yeah, Godwin's rule of Nazi analogies.
The hoblogger. A hoblogger. Man, I was making jokes. I don't know if we did this. It is really difficult for me to believe that this didn't come up, but a hobo frat boy who is a hobro?
Yeah.
That seems like it would be like a good sleaze name in the hobo name generator. Gabriel666 says, I noticed on the vendor slime in the convention hall that there's a spelling error that says craxy instead of crazy.
Hmm.
That's on purpose.
The number of... I want to say typos, but they're not typos. The number of, like, intentional, weird punctuation crap that the staff does is just kind
of
getting out
of
control.
All of us have our own little... There's, like, one thing that every one of us has our own punctuation.
Idiosyncrasy.
Because I feel like I am... I don't necessarily know the standards, but I'm willing to, like, always just go the way of the standards.
What's my main one that drives people nuts?
Your inability to put... Well, for me, it's...
Punctuation outside of parentheses?
Well, no, okay, yeah. So there's that one, but there's also... The one that drives me nuts is not... You put quotes at the beginning and ending of...
Of every
paragraph
of a multi-paragraph speech.
Which, everywhere else in the world, implies
what
that
I've
two people are talking...
What I've actually seen is you did the opposite. You leave...
Oh, yeah, you start with one at the beginning of a multi-paragraph thing.
Yeah,
and then
don't put... the opening quotes at the beginnings of the second paragraph.
Yeah, because that's bullshit. And I never even heard of that until like a couple years ago.
Yeah,
I never heard
it
of that.
It is standard.
It is not standard.
Yes, it is.
No, it's fucking not. I'm sorry. That is some bullshit that got made up in the last couple years.
I bet we could go to almost any book you have ever read with dialogue in it and find examples of it that you just didn't realize were. That's what was going on. You probably thought that it was typos, and you're like, man, what
is
this?
It is really weird that there is a typo in almost every paragraph of this book.
Yeah.
No, hot stuff. I have only ever read books by Cormac McCarthy. And didn't Hemingway not use quotation marks?
I don't know. I've not read any Hemingway.
Really? None?
I don't think so. I mean, I probably read some, but nothing.
Where do you get your stories about dudes with their dick shot off? Like, what do you do to fill that need?
Alt.religion.kibology.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Popplepunk says, regarding curling, watch the Briar and then tell me it's boring. It's chess on ice, but you can drink beer while playing. Best game there could be, but probably not for dudes from Arizona. Oh, and I almost dropped my MP3 player down the hole while I was ice fishing this year. You guys could have had your radio show preserved on the bottom of Lake Nip Pissing. So, like, you know, the story of the origin of that lake is that a World War II era Japanese man once drank so much beer that he urinated an entire lake.
Oh, isn't that something that, like, Hercules did or something?
He pissed a lake. That was one of his tasks.
Yeah.
You have to fill this quarry with urine. That's the origin of the largest lake in all of Greece. Oh man. No, that's actually how he cleaned the Aegean stables with his own piss. He found a river of his own piss that was running off of that lake and diverted it with a boulder. With actually a stone from his bladder that was large enough to divert a river of urine.
That's a lot of stones.
I finished the second season of Deadwood, speaking of stones in the bladder. Yeah.
God.
I really like the portrayal of, like, medicine on Deadwood.
Yeah.
First of all, I like fucking Brad Dourif in just about any role ever.
He's really good.
It was weird that you did not know that he was, what's his name, in that one movie. That guy that you played in that play.
Don John in Much Ado About Nothing?
No. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Billy Bibbit, yeah. Yeah. Which I feel like was, like, his first role.
Yeah, I totally did not.
And, like, he has gone on to just play every sort of wild-eyed weirdo in everything ever.
Yeah, wow, yeah.
Yep.
Huh.
He is super, super good as the Doctor in Deadwood. Everyone in Deadwood is super good.
Yeah. There's not really a weak link in that whole thing.
I am not super fond of Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, but he...
But he's okay.
I think that's the character, though, to some extent.
Right, I don't like the character.
Well, I feel like they didn't know exactly what they wanted to do with him as a character, and that was problematic.
Yeah.
And I feel like he was supposed to be the focus of the show, and it shifted.
And then they realized that the show was obviously about Swearengen.
Yeah.
You know, the overthinking guys talk about The Wire as though it is, like, sort of the best television that has ever been made.
Yeah.
It kind of makes me want to watch it. Like, my dad was really into it for the first season or two. He probably would have continued being into it after that, but didn't get the chance to. But, like, all I remember was, like, it being, like, a cop show.
But it's supposed to be really, really good.
Like, a really good cop show?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess something fundamentally changed after the first couple seasons, and the arc of it.
They rebooted almost in the fourth season.
They moved to a different city or something?
They went, undercover in a high school or something. I've not seen any of it at all.
Is that one of those things that Wally is really into?
Yeah.
Would he talk up a blue streak about it?
He would.
He would not let you get a word in edgewise?
We should invite Wally to be on the podcast at some point.
Yeah, we should. In case we ever want to take the night off.
it would be interesting for our listeners, I think, to have heard or interacted with one Walter Holland.
What I was thinking was if MC Frontalot makes good on his threat to include Phoenix on his tour, we should pre-record a podcast with him while he's here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, totally.
That'd be good.
Yeah. GreenN72 says, after listening to every single radio show hosted on iTunes, around 200, I'm now officially out of podcasts to listen to. Any suggestions? Listening to them all took just over a month. As an afterthought, I sincerely regret that I will have to listen to old shows to hear the dulcet tones of Jick and Mr. Skullhead. Well, there's more than a month of audio, so you would have had to have not slept at all in that month to have actually heard them all. I would suggest listening to them again, offset by 12 hours from when you started the first time, so you can catch all the stuff you missed.
While you're sleeping.
Well, I can certainly recommend the Overthinking It podcast, available online at overthinkingit.com. I can heartily recommend Jordan Jesse Go. For the people who like listening to us just make dumb jokes, and want a much better version of that. Jordan Jesse Go is not about video games or anything. It's just sort of about, yeah. And it's pretty funny. These guys are almost wholly unrelatable in terms of what their lives are like. But they're super funny dudes.
Yeah.
Super funny dudes. I'm angry about how young they are. It always bothers me when
give it a podcast or two before you make a decision, because some bits are not as funny, and you like, I can imagine someone like going into one of their like baseball rants and being like, "This
is." But that's usually only a few minutes, and okay, Jordan like, always makes sure to explain to the guest and to the listeners that you know, it's just a thing.
Yeah.
Ah, man, that convention is going to be fucking weird.
Yep.
I have zero idea about what to expect.
Which convention
Max
is it?
Max Fun Con.
Oh.
The Maximum Fun Convention.
It is...
Jonathan Colton's going to play.
Some place in the mountains of California.
Yeah, we're going to a cabin so that Jesse Thorne can murder us, if the Penny Arcade guys are to be believed. They wrote a comic about him having murdered them. It opens with their agent calling him and saying, "Hey, they never showed up at their next appointment after they left your house a week ago." And then their heads are in his refrigerator.
Huh.
This is going to be like that... this is going to be like when there was that newspaper strike and Giuliani... Not Giuliani.
He just wrote all the stories himself?
Who's that guy? What the fuck? LaGuardia. LaGuardia read the comics aloud to the children of New York City
on like Saturday or Sunday mornings.
I'm just gonna read Penny Arcade. That's what our podcast is gonna be. Jick reads Penny Arcade aloud
when the
internet goes on strike.
No, because we're getting out through the internet, so it can't be that. It has to be when all the blogs unite and go on strike. That's what will happen.
So the podcasts, the podcasts that I listen to on a regular basis, like as soon as they come out, Overthinking It, Jordan Jesse Go, and Idle Thumbs. Yeah. Now that Idle Thumbs is making new podcasts again,
Adam Carolla podcast is interesting. There's almost too much content for it to be something that you want to listen to.
I listen to the Adam Carolla podcast when there is a guest that I'm interested in. For instance, today's Adam Carolla podcast, I had Jordan and Jesse from Jordan Jesse Go,
and they are really all over the place. Some of them are really interesting, and some of them are just really boring.
Like sometimes you get a guy who all he cares about is sports, and all they talk about is sports. Sometimes you get a guy that all he cares about is cars, and all they talk about is cars. The Rowdy Roddy Piper one was pretty good. I listened to that one recently. It was sort of, because like he was, it was reminiscent of the movie The Wrestler, like his
story.
Yeah, like just the way that
that's interesting.
Just like sort of his attitude. I mean, like the way that you imagine his life must be.
Huh.
You know. Apparently, they're doing a remake of They Live, and
I don't know what
had potentially talked to him about having a cameo in it, but wasn't confirmed.
What is They Live?
It's that weird alien slash zombie movie where you can only see the aliens slash zombies if you're wearing these special sunglasses.
Yeah. Then you can see that their faces are all fucked up.
Yeah.
And they're like hiding among us. Weird. It's really surprising that you haven't seen it.
Yeah,
it's
kind of.
I haven't actually seen it either.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just know.
What were you guys doing in the 80s?
A lot of blow.
Yeah. A lot of blow, just making a lot of money. Making a lot of money, fucking a lot of hookers, and doing a lot of blow. Yeah.
Right, okay. Yet other ways that we can characterize the 80s, that if you asked me what I was doing in the 90s, I was like, in school. Working. You know, like, what happened? Why are the 90s, in retrospect, so undifferentiated from the history of till now, as, like, the 80s just seem so distinct?
Like, we all lost our virginity in the 90s. That was important. So that's what people were doing in the 90s, was losing their virginities. In fact, R.E.M. wrote a song about it, about that being me in the corner. That was in the 90s.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That was religion. Shit. I always get religion and virginity confused. I can't remember which I have taken from the most people.
Do you belong to one of those volcano god cults?
Well, yeah.
we could probably end the show here.
What? Come on, it's 10 and stuff.
It's possible.
We're gonna leave you. We're gonna leave you in the capable DJ hood of Savin, who spent the 80s being in high school, spending too much damn time playing RPGs. That is not at all the same as hookers and blow, or doing blow off of hookers. Man, you know, all right, hot stuff, you have a new job as my social coordinator. You need to find us a restaurant where you eat sushi off of a naked woman.
Seriously?
It has to exist.
I mean, I'm sure it exists somewhere, but...
It has to exist.
It doesn't have to be in this city.
It can't be in this city. There's no way. There's no way something that cool could exist in Phoenix. Phoenix is a fucking cultural wasteland. It is a cesspool.
Do you suppose you mix soy sauce and wasabi in the belly button?
In the belly button? I don't know. I would fucking try. The only way to answer these questions, Hot Stuff, is for you to do your job. And I've decided what your job is this month. You have a whole month. Find one.
If that is my only job, then I will I will do that job with aplomb.
And then you will put down the plomb.
Maybe we'll get some plum wine when we go to the sushi. I need to pick a song to go out on. Like, this is what happens when you decide when we're done being on the radio. How about some Crash Test Dummies? How about some The Psychic? That's only 3 minutes and 47 seconds long. That should be enough time for Sathan to stop being in high school and playing RPGs. All right, kids. We'll talk at you soon.
See you.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Sort of.